Let's get to the good doctor. Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. This sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doc, thanks for joining the show. Thanks for calling in. I heard that you were listening earlier, our Phil Collins song, and it brought you back a little bit, just like all of us.
I would say. It's a lot more pleasant to think about listening to Phil Collins than having to worry about COVID, right?
Oh, I'll say that. You can say that again. And that's just as helpful even to think of a year ago, but several years ago, just the magic of one song to sort of bring you back to where you are in a hopefully a happier time than now.
I'll give you something to think about, though. When Phil Collins got big back in the 80s, I was a young internal medicine doctor. And the problem back then was AIDS. And in the 80s, we didn't know what AIDS was at all. It was just this horrible disease that we didn't understand. And when I think about how quickly we learned what AIDS was, and we turned it from a fatal disease into a chronic disease, that whole process took a number of years, but it was still pretty quick. I think it's important to have that perspective when we talk about COVID-19 today. We went from knowing nothing to knowing a lot, and I think the same thing's happening today with COVID.
That's helpful. And, I mean, we got to have hope about this, and it does feel like the brightest minds in the world are looking at vaccines right now, and there's so much promise about that. And ultimately, that is our best hope, isn't it, Doc, about changing our lives?
Yeah, for sure. Let's remember that 5 months ago, we were barely even talking about this thing. Only 5 months ago, right? The beginning of March, we knew there was something going on in China, in northern Italy, beginning in New York City. But here in Chicago, we had only begun to prepare. That's 5 months ago. I know it feels like 5 years for all of us, but that's only 5 months ago.
Yeah, puts it in perspective. So, you know, as you said, it took a few years to get everything under control in the AIDS situation, and many, many years, some would say. But here we, you know, hopefully the horizon is shorter than that. Hey, Doc, I want to ask you about this asymptomatic people, because we keep hearing our state health officials, our local health officials talk about this. They say, don't discount it if you've got a sniffly nose or just a headache. And I've even heard them talk about allergy symptoms. People say, oh, it's just allergies. And I guess they must be looking at the data and looking at people testing positive, that sometimes that's all that you get. That's how it presents.
Yeah, it might even be more than that, Anna. I mean, we think it might even be 20 to 40% of people have no symptoms at all. Wow. They're just walking around fully asymptomatic. Then there's the mildly symptomatic people like you're referring to. And, you know, I'm thinking as a physician today, you know, it's, we had a couple of days this week where it felt kind of fallish out, right? And a number of us have fall allergies, various kinds of molds. How are we going to be able to distinguish between mold allergy when we get into the fall and COVID? It's going to be a significant, significant issue. And it's been brought up right before the news, since testing is still an issue, we have to really make sure we understand the difference between asymptomatic, mildly symptomatic, and then the other things that can happen to us.
Yeah, I mean, if people do have allergies and they're seeing presentation of, like, the allergy symptoms and they take their normal allergy medication and it works, does that mean it's allergies?
I would think so, yeah. I think people can feel confident that it's allergies, but if they don't get better, if it feels different, then they really should get it checked out.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask about is the U.S. obesity epidemic, they say, is may potentially undermine the effectiveness of a potential vaccine for COVID. And I just wonder if you've seen any of the research on this or can speak to that issue.
Yeah, well, we've known for a long time with the seasonal flu vaccine that obese people, not all obese people, by the way, but some obese people don't have as robust an immunological response to the seasonal flu vaccine as someone who's not obese. So there's some concern that when we finally have our COVID-19 vaccine sometime in early 2021, that we might see the same thing. We really don't know that yet. I know that the phase 3 trials that are just getting started for the COVID-19 vaccine actually is monitoring a person's weight. So we're going to have some data that come out of the phase three trials about the obese person's response. So I wouldn't get frantic about this. It's something we know, and it's certainly going to be important, assuming the vaccine is shown to be effective and safe, that everybody get one of these vaccines, and that would include obese people.
I'm sorry to circle back, but the symptoms, I forgot to ask you this, and I don't know if it's just me seeing this or if this is a thing, but it seems to me like it's presenting differently in different age groups as well. Like you look at the very young, we know that they tend to be mild or asymptomatic cases. And then you go into, I was reading something about younger, like millennial age people that are there. It's presenting in their generation is like headaches and loss of sense of smell, but not really the coughs and the serious stuff. And then the older you get, you get into more of that respiratory type of symptoms. Are they looking at it based on age? Is there some sort of breakdown based on how it presents?
Yeah, again, because this is a novel virus, right? It's brand new to us. And I mean by us, I mean like human beings. We're all be learning this stuff right now. When I think back to the end of March and through April, when we first started to take care of people with COVID, particularly the sickest, we learned literally every day about how this virus could present. Now that we have more time and we have more experience, we're starting to look at the different presentations by age groups. And you are correct. We know that the little kids might have no symptoms at all. They probably don't get as infected to the same percent as some of the older kids. Then the teenagers might have a different set of presentations. It could just be a sore throat and sniffles. And then as we get into each subsequent decade, we're probably going to see that there's more fevers and coughs, those kinds of things, more respiratory complaints. But all of this right now is being worked out as we're starting to pool various observational studies that look at individuals who are infected with COVID by age.
This may be another one that's sort of on that long list of unanswered questions, but I just wonder where the research is right now on how long it stays in the body, how long the virus can hide out in people who have recovered from it or stay there to protect them potentially. I mean, what are we seeing there?
You know, we don't know enough, right? You know, it's if we think here in the Chicago area, the very first people who we diagnosed with COVID is the middle of March.
Right.
So it's not even 5 months. So it's a bit premature to start even speculating on what happens after someone seemingly recovers from the acute infection. We know there are some viral infections that actually can go latent. This lays dormant in a person, and I think the one we all know the best is shingles. Starts off as chicken pox as a kid, and that virus can just lay dormant in somebody for many decades before reactivating and presenting as shingles. We don't know yet about this novel coronavirus. The good news is other coronaviruses don't seem to do this. They don't seem to hang out elsewhere in the body and come back later. So I think that's really an important observation, and we'll know a lot more about this over the next several months.
You know, shingles, I said personal note there, my husband got it as a 50-year-old, and he had one of the worst cases. He's like the top 1% where all the infectious disease doctors come around into the room because they want to see this case. And you know, that one, we're like, oh, my God, why do we need that many people? They just all come in. He's like the shingles vaccine ambassador because he's still 2 years out now, has lingering postherpetic neuralgia. So we've got nerve damage and pain.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how these viruses can just wreak havoc on a body, right?
Yeah, no, it's so true. And, you know, you can share with your husband that he violated my first rule for
What's
patients.
That?
You never want us, the doctors, to tell you you are interesting.
Right.
You always want to be boring and mundane.
Right. I'm like, why is everybody coming in the room? Why? They needed to see this case. And I thought, oh, gosh, that's not a good sign. Oh, thank you, doctor, though, for your time. Thank you so much for calling in. I know these are busy times for folks who are doing what you're doing. thanks for doing what you're doing, and thanks for making time for us, too.
Yeah, and Anna, one final thought for the listeners. Shortly, we're going to start to offer seasonal flu vaccine. And it's going to be really important that everybody get the seasonal flu vaccine. The last thing we need this fall and winter is a simultaneous surge in COVID-19 infection plus a bad flu season. Those two things would be a disaster for us. So please, everybody, when you have the opportunity, beginning really probably in the next couple of weeks, but certainly in September, please avail yourselves of the seasonal flu vaccine. It's so critically important every year, but this year more than ever, get your flu vaccine.
Thank you, Doc. An important thing to talk about, and important thing for everyone to do, right? Is I know a lot of people are not wanting to go to doctors right now, but this is something you'll want to make the trip for.
Right. You don't have to go to the doctor. There'll be places outside of doctor's offices where you could get the vaccine. Just get the vaccine.
Get it. Thank you, Doc. Dr. Jeff, appreciate it.